Well, you are, if you're here this morning, you are experiencing a first. Got me a new toy. Yeah, this is high-tech stuff, man. This ain't no rinky-dink operation here. Yes, sir.
Can I hack into that?
Stay away from my iPad, man. Well, in case, this is my first Sunday to preach from my iPad, my new Christmas iPad that I got. And I do have a paper backup, just in case you were wondering. God is a big God, but I'm not sure he's in control of iPads. I think he may be. Turn with me if you would. Turn your iPad if you would. If you hadn't got an iPad, you know, you're not cool. To Psalms 23. We're gonna read again this psalm from the New King James Version. I normally preach out of the NIV, but I've changed it because this psalm is so familiar to us from the King James Version. I've changed it to preach from that. So Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We thank you for being with us. Come and speak in power and authority and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we continue this series on sheepish life lessons from Psalm 23. Now, we've looked at verse 1, 2, and 3, and we've seen that the shepherd, Jesus, provides contentment, peace, and purpose. Today we're going to look at verse 4, and we're going to see that the shepherd provides confidence, that we can live in confidence. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As I've mentioned in the earlier weeks of this series, this David, King David, the same King David that we talked about last week, was a shepherd. He was chosen king. He slayed Goliath, and then he rose to be king. He did a lot of good things. He made a lot of mistakes. And this same King David, who was a shepherd by trade, writes this psalm from the perspective of a sheep. And we've learned that that's not necessarily a compliment. I want you to notice something that really struck me this week. The first three verses that we've just passed through those weeks, it is from the perspective, David again speaking as a sheep, it's from the perspective of a sheep talking to other sheep. Have you ever noticed that? He speaks of, verse 1, 2, and 3, he speaks of this sheep talking to a fellow sheep. In first person, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he speaks in third person, he makes me to lie down, he leads me, he restores me. Do you see that that sheep to sheep? And it's as if they're having this conversation, one sheep to another, perhaps even across a fence line. In verse 4, David begins to talk as a sheep talking directly and intimately with the shepherd. I want you to notice that. He speaks in first person, I walk, I will fear no evil. And he speaks in second person, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now you've heard me talk about this Philip Keller, who wrote the book, a modern day shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm, and he talks. It's a great book. If you haven't read that book, it's an easy read, and it's a good book to look at this Psalm. But Keller talks about how, in his experience as a shepherd, how there in the certain times of the year they would graze the low areas of the country, and they would graze it off. And when it came to a certain time of the year, that land was, and remember we talked about how if you leave sheep in one place, they'll just eat that root and all. They'll just pull the root out, and then all you'll have left is dirt. So the grass and the plains were grazed off, the shepherd would begin to move them up to higher terrain, and as the snow melted and so forth, he moved them to higher terrain through valleys and through cliffs and breaks in the cliffs and so forth, up to the higher plain up above the tree line where there was new grass to be had. Now the problem with that journey from the lowlands to the highlands, that journey every year was filled with all sorts of treacherous, it's a hard word to say, things. There would be bad weather, and if you've ever been in the mountain, I remember Cheryl and I have done some backpacking, and I remember the weather in the mountains can turn just like that. It can be a beautiful day, 75 degrees, and you've got your shorts and t-shirts on, and you go for a day hike, and you get into a little thunderstorm that rolls over, and that thunderstorm, even up in the mountains, can begin to rain on you and get you wet, and the temperature can drop 40 degrees in 5 minutes, and the rain can turn to sleet, and it can be very, very hazardous very quickly. Look at that. Those screensavers. My paper doesn't have a screensaver. Did you know that? So there's this treacherous part of the trip. There's this bad weather. There's cliffs you could fall off the cliff. The sheep could fall off the cliff. There's poisonous plants. There's snakes. There's wild animals. There's all of these sort of treacherous things that they encounter. I was watching a National Geographic the other day, and this is kind of brutal. I won't be real terribly graphic, but because they had the video of it. But if you've never seen an eagle hunt, it's amazing. And it's the way the circle of life works. It's actually rather brutal. But this particular National Geographic showed these mountain sheep, bighorn sheep that are way, way, way up high. The eagles will perch and they'll watch for the sheep. And they watch for the sheep that strays away from the flock and gets pretty close to the edge of the cliff. And then you see, they show this video, this eagle swooping in and grabbing hold of the sheep. And you know what he does with him? He pushes him off the cliff. The sheep falls to his death and the eagle has its meal. It's brutal, but that's the sort of things that Keller is talking about and that David refers to in this psalm, this passing through the valley of the shadow of death. You need a shepherd. You need a shepherd. But it's something about what one of the things that Keller points out was the trip was tough, but it was a necessary journey for the health and maturity of the sheep. Hello. I want to say that again. The trip was dangerous and treacherous, but it was necessary for the health and maturity of the sheep. The experienced shepherd, he knew which valleys to lead the sheep through that had the richest places for them to eat, that had the water, and he guided them through, up through these treacherous cliffs and so forth, up to the higher land, the grazing. and he took care of the flock. I want to talk a little bit about some things that verse 4 teaches us today. The first thing is this. Verse 4 teaches us that life is no picnic. It doesn't say if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It says yea, which means even though. There's this present tense reality of what David is speaking of. Even though, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow. It doesn't say if I walk through the valley of shadow, perhaps when I walk through the valley of death. There's this certainty that you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What do our valleys look like? I want you to think about that for just a second. I've listed a few things. Valleys that I've personally gone through. Valleys that I've tried to help others walk through and journey through together. Valleys that I've seen others go through. How about death? That's maybe the most obvious. We many times associate this because the valley of the shadow of death, we many times associate this with our journey through the process of death to eternal life with Christ. That's surely one of the things, but it's not, I don't believe, what David is speaking to completely. Perhaps even the death of a loved one, even a child. Perhaps our valley is just financial ruin, crisis, addictions, suicide. Can you believe what Jared, a Special K, excuse me. You got to remember that. Y'all got to work with me on this, Special K. That's, if you weren't here a few weeks ago, you'll watch the tape. Anyway, can you believe what our young people are going through? I mean, we think, oh, you got to be at least 30 years old before you have a crisis in your life. How about no? There isn't an age requirement for trials and struggles and valleys in our life. These young people have lost parents. They have dysfunctional families. They have addictive families. They have people bullying them. They have all sorts of things, and many of them are seeing the only way out is to kill myself. Sixth grade. That's my only way out. Man, talk about the valley of the shadow of death. We need a shepherd, church. Suicide, lost jobs, cancer, or other health issues, abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, loneliness, broken relationships, divorce. I could go on and on, and I'm sure you and your mind are going on and on with the different sorts of brokenness and valleys that we go through. Valleys, I want us to understand, valleys are not a sign that God has abandoned us. They're not a sign that the Christian life simply doesn't work. It's kind of like many people think, I become a Christian, I'm not supposed to go through valleys. Is that what the Psalm says? Is that what Jesus said? Become, follow me and life will be easy. Life will be a piece of cake. That's not what Jesus said. He said, in this world, we will have trouble. Valleys are simply part of the human experience, the human journey, and the best route to the mountaintop. Hello. I would ask for a show of hands, but I'm not going to. I know in my own life, the valleys that I have experienced in my life has helped in God's forming of the man He wants me to be. It's not the blessed, it's not when I'm up on the mountaintop rejoicing in the good pasture that God is growing me. No, it's through the valleys, it's through those trials in tribulations. If we let it, we can let it grow us. We can let God come in and heal us and grow us and deepen us, or we can just get bitter. And we can just set, and I know this is, seems hard to say this, we can just wallow. You know any wallowers? Well, the shepherd keeps the sheep moving through the valley, leading to higher ground. So life is no picnic, but God walks with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You're my shepherd. I trust you. When the eagle comes, when the eagle swoops, you will scare him away. What a powerful word, that word that jumps out of me in that portion of this verse is that word fear. What a powerful word, fear. You know anybody controlled by fear? I don't want to get close to anybody again because people have hurt me. I'm not gonna marry again because I've been hurt. I'm not going to come to church because I've been hurt. I'm not going to risk relationship. I'm not going to risk being vulnerable with someone because I've been hurt. We let fear victimize us. God's word tells us in 1 John 4, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Who gives us perfect love? The Good Shepherd. Perfect love drives out fear. We do not have to be victimized by fear. Fear is a choice. Now, the valleys many times are not a choice. We travel through the valleys. They come. It's part of the human experience and part of the human journey. But how we respond to the valleys is a choice. Fear is a choice. And the secret to having no fear, and I'm not trivializing the valleys. I want you to hear that. Understand the significance of our valleys and the hurtfulness of our valleys. But the secret to having no fear is in trusting the shepherd. Get personal with Jesus. Press into him. Get personal with him. Keller, I quoted this a couple of weeks ago. One of my favorite quotes out of the book. In the course of time, Keller says, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me, the shepherd, in the field. Man, David knew that. He had been the shepherd. And he had seen how his presence quieted the sheep. And what does David say? The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Nothing reassures and quiets the sheep like the presence of the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? God does not abandon us through the valley. He walks with us through the valleys. He's molding us. He's maturing us. He's preparing us through the experience of the valley. I can't tell you, there's certain pieces of ministry that I'm just not very good at. And I'll tell you why I believe that is. Because I haven't lived it. I haven't experienced it. Now, it doesn't mean I can't be a vessel in those areas of ministry. But for instance, prison ministry. I can be a part of prison ministry, and there's many people who've not been to prison that are involved in prison ministry, but I believe God gives them a special equipping, a special call in their life to do it. But I also know many people who have been in prison that come out and they have a very rich and fulfilling ministry and call to prisoners. It's not God's call on my life. With alcoholics, how many people working with AA and other organizations that minister to people that are alcoholics were former alcoholics themselves, because they've lived it. They've walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and the Good Shepherd has seen fit to get them through it. God is equipping us through the valleys. He's equipping us and preparing us and maturing us to be His instrument. Third thing, and since God walks with us, we can walk with confidence. I've learned so much about this psalm through. You learn a lot more, believe me, when preparing to preach than you guys do out there hearing the sermon, I can assure you. But this rod and staff, I always in my mind, not knowing anything about shepherding, I always saw that as the same thing, your rod and your staff. I just, in my mind, I put that together, your rod and your staff, and I always thought that was the little hooked thing. But it's not. It's two separate instruments that the shepherds back in biblical time, and even in certain parts of the world even today, that they used. The rod was this, it was a shorter, heavier stick that they would find the appropriately sized tree, and they would dig it up by its roots so that they'd have a section of the root ball, and they would trim it up and clean it up and have it just the right size where and the handle would fit just right in their hand. But down at the end was this heavy, dense root ball that could be used for so many things. One of the things it could be used for is to protect the sheep when a snake or a wolf or any kind of predator would come. The shepherds were very skilled at using the rod. They could protect the flock. They could correct the flock if one of the big. We talked a few weeks ago about how the bigger sheep would sometimes pick on the smaller sheep. Golly, I guess that runs in the mammal family or whatever. But and the shepherd could pop that bigger sheep on the head and kind of go, mm-mm, you ain't doing that. You ain't gonna pick on that one. Pop. So there was all sorts of things that they could do. There's another, and I loved this. He talks about how the sheep, when they before they're sheared and their wool gets really big and thick and heavy, and any of you who have shown sheep will know this, you can hide wounds and you can hide deficiencies of the sheep with the wool. When it gets big and fluffy and you can rake it out and make it, you know, kind of guess like the old rugs in the 70s, you know, you can rake it. That's kind of what I envision. But maybe that's not how you do it. But you got the wool, and it can hide. And they would use this rod. They would run the rod over the back of the sheep, and they could separate the wool, and they could look down, and they could see if it was wounded, and they could use that rod to move the wool out of the way and feel, and the shepherd could see if the sheep needed any sort of attention, medical attention, or if it had any kind of insects on it or anything like that. It could examine the flock. I want to present to you this thought that the shepherd's rod is not a whole lot unlike the Word of God. This rod was used to protect the flock. David, when he's preparing to take on the Goliath, he's this little kid. He's a teenager, probably 12, 13 years old, and he's getting ready to take on Goliath, this massive giant that none of the most fierce warriors in Israel would face. And David, this little teenage boy, says, I'll do it. I'll go. And listen to what he says when he's convincing King Saul that he can slay Goliath. He says, your servant himself has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Protection. A rod comforts me. Correcting the flock, 2 Timothy, and examining the flock. 2 Timothy tells us that all Scripture, God's Word, is God-breathed. I love that translation. Now, others call it God-inspired. I like that God-breathed. God breathed His Word. It's God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, correcting the flock, examining the flock. The rod, the word of God. The staff. Let's look at the staff a minute. The staff was what I had envisioned, that kind of had put them together, but they're two separate instruments. The staff was truly the shepherd's staff. It was long and had a hook, and it was skinnier, and a lot they could reach out quite a ways with it, and it wasn't so heavy, and it would not make a very good weapon because it wasn't very heavy. He would use the staff, the shepherd in biblical times would use the staff to draw the sheep unto himself for examination. I want to check that one. Hook. Draw the sheep unto himself. He would use it to comfort the sheep. He talks. Keller tells about this story how many times when he was walking with the sheep from the lowland to the highland through the valleys, he would have a sheep that maybe was kind of nervous, and maybe a young sheep, and it was nervous and insecure. And he talked about how he could walk beside that sheep and he could just touch it with his staff, and you could visibly see how the sheep would just calm from the touch of the staff of the shepherd. And sometimes when they were trying to go through a pass and he was trying to keep them away from falling on the bank of the water or off a cliff, he could nudge them and keep them on the path. This staff to draw the sheep, to comfort the sheep, to guide the sheep. I want you to compare that to the Holy Spirit. God's Word says that He draws us unto Himself. Jesus said in John 12, He said that when I, the Son of Man, when I'm lifted up, well, you know what they did? They nailed Him to a cross. They had a hole in the ground. They nailed Him to a cross. And what do you have to do to get that cross to stand up in the hole? You have to lift it up. When the Son of Man is lifted up from the earth, He will draw all men to Himself. It's drawing. It's drawing people to Himself. It says in 2 Corinthians, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Can you just imagine this God of all comfort walking beside us with His staff by our side, just touching us, just to remind us, I'm here. It's okay. And guiding the sheep. It says that the Spirit of truth, Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. This Holy Spirit drawing us, comforting us, guiding us. I don't know about you. Is Psalm 23 coming alive yet? Amen. Is verse 4 coming alive yet? Amen. It has for me. I want to give you, how are we doing on homework? Anybody doing their homework? It's okay. No shame today. Next week, on the other hand. No, I'm just kidding. All right. I'm going to give you a challenge again for this week. I want you to take verse 4 and I want you to write it out just like we've done every week. I want you, at the end of this series, I want you to be able to recite Psalm 23 without opening up God's Word. I want God to write it on your heart. But in the meantime, write it on your piece of paper. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Write it out. Write it out several times if you want to this week. And at least three times a day, here's what I want you to do. This is easy this week. At least three times a day, when you get up at noon in bedtime, and if you want to do it more, that's great. But at least three times a day, I want you to say to yourself, You are with me. When you feel stressed, when you feel afraid, when you feel angry, when you feel whatever it is you feel, whatever valley you are walking through, I want you to say to yourself, You are with me. Say it with me right now. You are with me. Say it again. You are with me. One more time. You are with me. If you would, just bow your heads for just a second. Just let the praise team stay out there for now. If you just bow your heads and close your eyes a second, I want to ask you in your heart to repeat this prayer after me. And if it's not your heart, I mean, it's not going to hurt anything to repeat it. But if it is your heart, let it be your prayer. And maybe this is a first time you've ever prayed a prayer like this. But if you know it's coming from your heart, even though you're repeating after me, I just wanted to let it penetrate you. Let the Holy Spirit move in your life right now. Just pray this prayer in your heart with me. Lord, I confess that just like a sheep, I have gone astray. I need you. I need you to be my good shepherd. I need you to travel with me through the valley of the shadow of death. I confess that I have been a victim of fear. Fear of my past and fear of my future. I give you all my hurts, my past wounds, and my past sins. I now surrender my future to you. I give you the will of my life. Show me what you'd have me to do. Show me who you would have me to forgive. Show me who you would have me to love on your behalf. I don't know anything except I need you. I need you in my life and I need you in my heart. Come into me, Holy Spirit. Make your home in my heart. Change me from the inside out and make me like you. If you keep your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that for the first time, a prayer like that for the first time, raise your hand if you would. Amen. Amen. Thank you. In the powerful and strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I encourage you. I absolutely don't know what I would do without the Good Shepherd. I don't know what I would do without His mercy. And I want so much for you to know that peace. If you don't know it, I want so much for you. And more than me, He wants so much for you to know that peace. So I encourage you, if you raised your hand, I encourage you to come and talk with me. I'm not going to seek you out. I'm not going to run you down. I encourage you to come seek me and let's talk some more. If the praise team would come forward as we close. If you would stand as we close, if you'd like to come and pray as we close, that's at the altar. The altar is open. If you would like to come and have me pray with you, if our prayer team, if y'all would kind of, they have the blue tags on, if you'd kind of make your way around the back of the sanctuary. If you would want to see one of them, they would love to pray with you as well. It's close.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I?
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. Say, you are with me again.
You are with me.
Go and be content and confident in that in Jesus' name and tell someone. Amen. We're dismissed.